What is success? I ask this with regard to when people want to be successful as a goal. But you can't succeed at being successful alone, can you? I'm AV, and this is the Grindworks BMX Podcast, episode 55. If you ask me outright to define success, I would say it is achieving a goal. Looking it up on Merriam-Webster, the definition is degree or measure of succeeding and favorable or desired outcome. Also, the attainment of wealth, favor, or eminence. Since these definitions are somewhat circular with one another, let's look at succeed. Merriam-Webster defines succeed as to turn out well, or to attain a desired object or end. This has an example of students who succeed in college. One last definition for now is successful. Merriam-Webster defines this as resulting or terminating in success, and gaining or having gained success. Now, the one specific definition, but really an offshoot or implied definition of success, was the attainment of wealth, favor, or eminence. So, in this example, we can take the implied goal of being wealthy, favorable, or powerful, and ascertain that the goal has been achieved. So, in turn, someone can say that they want to be successful and succeed at being successful when the implied goal was actually to become wealthy, favorable, or powerful. But what if wealth, favor, or eminence is not the goal? How can we measure and compare success in other ways? Do we need to? I think so. But maybe not for the reasons you're immediately thinking. I think success is important for the individual to both achieve and understand. We have so many small successes daily that we may not even perceive. But I also think that success is one of those things that can leave you a little empty inside for various reasons. Sometimes achieving a goal can leave you lost or without purpose. This happens when a goal becomes a hyperfixation, and there may be no goals beyond the primary one. Or sometimes even when the goal is achieved too easily and the success feels lackluster. But not achieving goals can be worse. Either setting goals that are too large all at once, or goals without a plan, can lead to long-term problems or obsessions and make you feel like success is impossible. But we've all achieved success throughout our lives. Even the most simple to a lot of us, learning to ride a bike is a major success for most young children and sometimes for adults. Learning to walk, talk, swim, drive, etc. are all successes that we may eventually take for granted. So at this point, you're starting to see where I'm going with this episode, but let me give you the individual talking points right now, and then touch on each one, as they may not inherently flow together at the conclusion of this one. Learning tricks, school, athletics, work, starting a business, social media such as Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and more, and hobbies, personal lives, and labors of love. So we'll start with learning tricks. As bike riders, skateboarders, or any other action sports, is that even what it's called anymore? I don't know. What are we calling it these days? Anyway, action sports enthusiasts, we have experienced more success than most other people will in their lives. Every new trick you have learned is a goal you've achieved. Every new combo or line you pull off is a plan, goal, and success story all in one. And all the same, we are typically hypercritical of ourselves. We can work for hours, days, or weeks on a trick or line, and when we finally pull it, we mask our own success with feelings of imperfection and say things like, I can do it better, cleaner, etc. Or we immediately look onto the next thing and don't acknowledge that even a stepping stone is still a goal achieved. In this event, I think it's clear that there are obvious objectifiable goals at play. It is also fairly clear how you can succeed at them. School. Almost all of us have completed or are working to complete some level of schooling, graduating high school or college, getting a GED, etc. are all pretty major life successes with a lot of smaller incremental successes along the way. So many that they may actually be uncountable, from classes to homework assignments to quizzes, exams, and tests to graduating each year along the way. And while unable to count them all, they are all stepping stone successes that are individually inconsequential and forgotten about shortly after. Again, these goals, even when small, are fairly clear. Athletics. Similar to learning tricks with BMX skateboarding and any other action sport, athletes have a variety of successes experienced, from major wins, training goals, and more, that the average person may never experience. However, many of the interim successes are stepping stones, such as training goals, and stepping stones, again in the sense of a baseball pitcher striking a player out, each individual strike was a goal along the way, with the strikeout momentarily celebrated by the team, but without breaking the pitcher's concentration. Each strikeout is a succession of achieved goals, ultimately resulting in winning the game, ultimately working towards winning the season, and possibly a championship in the end. All of these successes are dwarfed by the final outcomes, similar to school, but all the while, the goals are always fairly clear. Work. These successes are similar to school in that we experience success repeatedly on small doses by having a productive meeting or phone call, getting a project done, or simply avoiding a confrontation on a bad day. These successes are often more complicated, though, as the goal starts to become ambiguous and variable. Consider that you may have a coworker who does the bare minimum while you do all the work. Yeah, hard to imagine, I know. It's difficult to derive the goal in these situations. This person could be succeeding if their goal is to do only as much as they need to in order to keep a paycheck and not get fired. Maybe the goal is to actually get fired and collect unemployment, in which case they're not succeeding. Or maybe the position doesn't align with their goals at all, and there is neither success or failure while they contemplate what they really want to be doing. In other instances, you may be working really hard on a project and putting in overtime. What are the goals? You could be aiming for a promotion or a raise. You could be excited to see the fruits of your labor pay off in a final product. You might be avoiding something outside of work. Or you could be begrudgingly working because you were told to and just don't want to lose your job. The motivations of workers are often complex, and success is not always even cause for celebration. Success may also be failure elsewhere. For example, when forced to work late and complete a project in order to keep your job, there is no celebration or happiness, but you experience success all at the same time. Further, this success may cause undue strain on your personal life at home and with your family. And if this persists too far, too often, or too long, you may have more problems and failures happening than successes. The key is going to be in alignment of goals and recognition of what's happening around you. But this is where we start to see glimpses of people just wanting to be successful. In these instances, we can likely defer to the definition whereas success is the attainment of wealth, favor, or eminence. The lines become blurred and we stop recognizing success as achieving our goals and only see it as making money, gaining favor, or attaining a position of power. Reiterating, yes, you can succeed at being successful, but only as it pertains to money, favor, or power. In these instances, it's interesting to question whether the other goals are even recognized as goals, and the successes or failures recognized as either. Starting a business, the motivations and successes of entrepreneurs become even more complex than those of a typical worker. But this is where I want to start the real discussion as well. A classic business owner may start a widget company because they believe they can deliver better widgets than their competitors. A restaurant because they believe can provide better food and service than their competitors, etc. While these are goals that seem fairly obvious and clear, there's also typically a goal of making money as a means of measuring success. Without money, they would accept failure and move on to the next opportunity, even if they were providing the best widgets or providing the best food. The success of the other goals are often trumped by the business aspect. But can a business be successful, even if they are not making money and or shut down? If you define success as the attainment of wealth, favor, or eminence, the answer is obviously no. However, if you remember that succeed means to attain a desired object or end, then we can begin our discussion. A person may have opened a bar not to make money and not because they believe selling alcohol is a good business, but rather to provide a space for a particular community to gather. As much as they have been safe spaces and targets of violence at the same time, and drug use, the classic gay bar and subsequently the modern day queer bar can be a perfect example of this. In questionable areas and times, a person could be driven to start a business with no motivation to make money. Further, they may be willing to lose money in order to achieve other goals for themselves and or their community. Similarly, the average person would say nobody in their right mind would start a skate park, as it's a losing venture. But the term right mind would imply that there could never be motivations or goals outside of the attainment of wealth, favor, or eminence. While making money has to remain a goal for the company to continue operating, it is most often not the primary motivation, nor the definition of a success for the owner. Common goals might be to provide a safe space to ride or skate or scooter, to foster a community of bike riders and skateboarders, to be able to share their interpretations of a skate park, ramps, or art, to introduce skateboarding or bike riding to people that may otherwise never get involved, to give themselves a place to go ride, or to build the things they want to build. A park may operate for years, breaking even or at a loss, just to achieve these goals year over year. If a park does close after successfully providing a place to ride, skate, and develops a scene in the area while introducing new riders to BMX, the business may have failed, but the park was a complete success. Anyway, I don't think this is the point I was trying to make, but there's an episode title for you. Ultimately, The motivations may be crystal clear or extremely difficult to pinpoint, but I think that the definition of success is extremely personal for most business owners, and the outside perception of success or failure is not applicable to them. With social media, what makes social media accounts successful? Similar to starting a business, and maybe literally a business, social media accounts can exist for a plethora of reasons. An account with 12 followers can be deemed more successful than an account with 5,000 followers. How so? Let me explain my take. If the account is owned by someone whose only goal is to share photos of their kids so that their extended family can see them and stay up to date on what they are up to, the account is a success if the owner is satisfied by uploading their posts and having the 12 family members follow the account. On the opposite end of the spectrum is someone who's starting a page just to grow an account with an ultimate goal of being an influencer, i.e. gaining favor, or to sell a page. So 5,000 followers for this person may be ultimately too low and not provide sufficient engagement to drive metrics and allow the account to flourish as an influencer. But social media is where the question, can you succeed at being successful, is derived. Oftentimes, it seems like people fall into a cycle of content for the sake of content. Some of this is driven by the algorithms that govern the social media landscape. If you don't post consistently, your reach will diminish and growth will slow down drastically. Here, you'll see mediocre at best content continuously pushed, and the initial motivations are lost due to the endless pressures of having to publish the next post and have a handful on deck at all times. But my opinion on content for the sake of content is a biased one. I feel like there is a social media hierarchy. Anything worth watching for more than a minute belongs on YouTube or some other permanent, quote-unquote, searchable platform. We all know videos get taken down, so permanent is definitely in quotes there. Anything that may be watched once or twice or is very short is a great fit for Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok. And then things that may be mildly entertaining to a select few, but not necessarily important or even questionably worth posting, go to Stories or Snapchat. Because I feel that there is a hierarchy of sorts, I don't believe all content is created equal. There's a clear difference between the subject art, telling a story, and B-roll. I feel the same way when filming just to make an Instagram post versus filming a video to publish with intent and a target audience. This is where I'm curious on listener opinions. Am I wrong here? Anyway, if you believe all content is created equal, then there is no such thing as content for the sake of content, or as we've called it for years, filler. There's filler on music albums, BMX edits, and practically everywhere you look. If we only posted the top tier content, our social media would be pretty slim to browse. The diminishing quality of content should feel parallel to the diminishing return we feel when consuming the content most of the time. And it's all driven by algorithms that force those with more content to the top of the feed. The algorithms of social media can often override the goals of the account owner. However, all in the ambitions and the motivations are often easier to detect. Looking at an account, you can usually figure out what the owner's goal is, and also if they are succeeding at their goals by the content you consume on their pages. The last one is hobbies, personal lives, and labors of love. These successes are the most pure, with often straightforward goals. I won't even spend much time on it, as the wealth, favor, and power motivations are almost never present in this territory. Success and failure are typically felt very personally. So here's the fun part. they're all very interrelated. As alluded to in the work section, success in one of these areas may mean failure in others. Balance and awareness of these goals, successes, failures, and everything in between will allow you to prioritize goals and set off reactions of desired outcomes rather than unforeseen failures. So why are we talking about this? I don't know exactly. I've had notes on this topic for a while and never really fully developed the thoughts, so I felt that it was time to do something with it and get it out of my notes and off my mind. And really, I also want to know how you define and recognize success in your daily life. But it's also that you can be successful in almost every aspect of your goals and still be unhappy. Maybe not even unhappy, but unsatisfied. For example, my goals over the last year or so were to move back to Binghamton, to have family assistance with Ryder, allow Ryder to grow up with family around him, and also be closer to and spend time with family myself. While for all intents and purposes we have succeeded at all of these goals, this was at the sacrifice of hobbies and personal life. While happy for my family and Ryder himself, I'm not satisfied nor convinced that coming back to Binghamton was the best decision for myself. It feels rather selfish in a way, and is somewhat difficult to admit or say, but I do not want to be in Binghamton. Every trip I take elsewhere for riding, work, vacation presents a crushing despair as soon as we start to return. I left a great city with a lot to do for the family, from museums to sports teams to just having a cultural mix, to come back to an area that has nothing. And none of that even speaks to the feeling about leaving a BMX scene with more skate parks and street than you can wish for, to come back to Binghamton and central New York in general. I generally say that once you make a decision in life, especially a major one, that no matter what, it was the right decision, and that you can't look back and wish you'd chosen differently because you didn't. This is the start of spiraling depression, to fantasize about how it could have been different and better the other way. While I'm aware of this and feel that the decision was the right answer for my family, the selfish part of me is absolutely stuck looking back and regretting the decisions that landed me here. I am bitter that I sold my house. I am bitter that I came back to New York. And I am bitter in general a lot lately, and I recognize it. I'm slowly trying to work on it. So, the last couple podcasts have given some context as to what's been going on with Grindworks, but a large part of the silence has been a complete lack of motivation to do anything since coming back to New York. The scene is what you make it. And if I keep telling myself that it's shitty, then it can't be anything but. So instead of dwelling on all these things that were better elsewhere, I need to do everything I can to make it as good as it can be here. I'm not fully sure what that means at this moment, but it does mean I need to identify some goals for myself, goals for Grindworks, goals for my family, goals for work, and then decide for myself, how do I define success, and what am I doing to succeed? While I'm still in a holding pattern waiting to find and buy a house, and losing bids all in the while, there are some things we can do better until we can actively run Grindworks fully again. So I'm going to start with these. I'm going to try to give you guys more frequent posts on Instagram. I'm going to definitely continue putting out podcast episodes. Hopefully get some more stickers out soon. I've been out of them for a few months now. Jams or ride out events. I kind of prepped this episode a couple weeks ago, but just last weekend we did a Halloween trick-or-treat ride out, so that was cool. So, already executing on this, and I feel pretty good about it. Anyway, work to promote and grow the local scene. I need to get another batch of pegs ready and or other products. And straight up, just need to ride my bike more. That one is almost entirely on me. That, you know, the lack of motivation all around has kept me from riding regularly. Since we talked about starting a business, social media, and just now mentioning promoting the local scene, I just want to collectively call people out on how they post and share stuff on Facebook and Instagram all day long. But when one of their friends, acquaintances, or even the local community starts a business, project, art, or similar, or even just falls on hard times, it's like they forgot how to hit share, or they're scared they'll be judged for sharing. It's really just weird that they'll share sex and drug memes, but can't be bothered to support the people and communities around them. Obviously, you can't support and share everything all the time, but I want to make an effort personally to share more than I do and really showcase what's going on in the community and scene. With that said, I also do make a concerted effort not to share fundraisers or donations that I have not personally already contributed to. I don't like to ask you guys to do anything that I haven't already done. If you aren't subscribed to the podcast and you've made it this far, please subscribe and follow grindworks_BMX on Instagram at a minimum. There's a bunch of other places you can follow for content and everything, but with it being slim, I don't feel like I need to promote anything else at the moment. There is a YouTube as well, so you can be listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Google Play, or YouTube, among a bunch of other places. So, that is about it on this one. Let me know if you disagree with anything I said in this and how you define success. I'll be especially curious for people's takes on the social media discussion. And I feel like I skimmed over some of the details and could probably pull some episodes together following up on this one with various people. Brant, I might be calling you out on this one, as you know a lot more of the back end side of YouTube than I do. So, you know, if we're talking algorithms and, you know, content and how frequent you need to post to stay relevant, you're going to be the person. We've also scratched the surface before on content for the sake of content with Brant and the pressure to continue posting videos. And then I'd also like to maybe get a skate park owner or two for their perspectives, motivations, and definition of success. So, you know, here's to more episodes. Let's do this.